So you'll notice in your outline that the title over this portion is Consistent to the End. He's not really done yet, though. We're only about halfway through the book. He's got more to go, but this brother, this saint, is consistent to the end. Oftentimes we say it's not how you begin, it's how you end. But it is how you begin, it is how you are in the middle, and it is how you are in the end. And that's what we had before us today with these three chapters. The beginning, the middle, and the end, there was a consistency of faith all the way through. So Daniel now, we had in chapter 1, the four, Daniel and his three friends. We had in chapter 3, the three friends, and now we have Daniel by himself in chapter 6. Daniel's probably in his early 80s at this point. So again, we said in the beginning that what we are reading, studying, and looking to the Lord for today is not for any particular age group. It is for all of us. So he's consistent to the end. In the chapter that we didn't read right before this, oh, another thing is that this is the third monarchy, right? There was Nebuchadnezzar, there was Belshazzar, which we haven't read about, and now we have the Medes and Persians and this man Darius. So we talk about society changing, about cultures changing, about the times changing. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these men exhibited a faithfulness that was the same despite circumstances, situations, leaders, cultures, or society. We ought to be encouraged by that to emulate them. In chapter 5, when he speaks to Belshazzar, just to emphasize how he has been consistent, in chapter 1, he would say to the one who was appointed by the king, he would say, I don't want to partake of the king's dainties. I don't want to partake of the wine. In chapter 5, he says to Belshazzar, he says, keep your gifts. I'll interpret the writing on the wall. I don't need your gifts. He wasn't impressed by the things down here. This was a man that truly had built up for himself treasures in heaven. He realized the corruptibility of everything down here. How temporary it was, how the thief breaks in and steals, how the moth, right? And he says, King, keep your gifts, keep your rewards, I don't need it. But it's also interesting, especially one of the words that he interprets in chapter 5 from the writing on the wall, the one, Tico, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, thou art weighed in the balances. And this ought to be a challenge to every one of us here today. Weighed in the balances. God weighed this man, Belshazzar, in the balances. And you know what it was found? Wanting. He was wanting. And again, something that I mentioned with regard to the first study was Belshazzar knew. He had seen what Nebuchadnezzar had done. He had seen the pride in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. He had seen that Nebuchadnezzar was warned, and he didn't heed the warning. And in his pride, he was made to be as an animal for 7 years. He was out in the field eating the grass, and his hair became like feathers, and his nails like the eagle's claws. And Belshazzar knew all of this, and yet, it didn't impress him. So Tico, thou art weighed in the balances, and he was found wanting. I'm just wondering, you know, when we're weighed in the balances, do we give any regard to that in particular with the decisions that we make? In the last study, I didn't finish my thought about Christians being able to justify anything. And one of the brothers sort of finished my thought with regard to the chapter 3, how when they were told to bow down, you know, they could have bowed down with their body, but in their heart, justify and say, my heart's not in it, but I'll just do this to save myself. I'll do this to save my family, whatever it was. But no, they would not compromise. But we can find reasons all the time to disappoint God. Don't forget, it's in His balances that we're being weighed. We're walking before an audience of one. Now, in this chapter, there's another challenge. In chapter 1, it was, he asked for 10 days. In chapter 3 that we just had, if there wasn't an immediate response, you're going to get thrown in the fire. And now there was 30 days that you pray to nobody else except for Darius. It's interesting that the men that were examining him, that were jealous of his position within the kingdom, they wanted to do something to get him dethroned, to get him knocked down. They wanted the power that he had. But they could find no fault in him. That sounds familiar, right? There was another one that they could find no fault in. We spoke about what our names are in the beginning. Brother Dave said, our name is Christian. We're like Christ. And that's what this man was, this man Daniel. They could find no fault in him. Just like his Savior who was to come, they could find no fault in him. But now the challenge is, you don't pray to anybody but Darius for 30 days. And the scripture that we read says that he went home and he shut the doors and he still prayed. He didn't shut the windows. He didn't shut the doors. He did as was his custom. As was his custom. Somebody just mentioned about how important it is to have good habits, to have good customs. It says of the Lord Jesus that he went into the temple as was his custom. Do we have good habits? Do we have a day that we start the right way? A day that we end the right way? A day that when we sit down with the food that we're going to partake of where it involves giving thanks? Do we have good customs? This man had a good custom and it didn't matter what he was being told that was against his God. He went home and he left the window open, as was his custom, and three times a day. He prayed so that everybody could see him. You know, in chapter 5, he had a lot to say to Belshazzar. It seemed like he was very perturbed with Belshazzar. He couldn't wait to say things to Belshazzar. But it seems like he had a little bit better relationship with this Darius. And when Darius finds out that he had been tricked into this, he feels really bad and he's trying to think of how to get out of throwing Daniel into the lion's den, and they remind him that the law can't be changed. This is how it has to be. And he does that. And he's sorry to Daniel. You can hear it in the things that he says. And Daniel really has not much, if anything, to say. Not much, if anything, to say. But it says that the king later on says he believed in his God. It says not only that they could find no fault in him, but it says that he was faithful. Daniel could have done what we just spoke about, could have been done in chapter 3, right? They could have bowed with their body, but said, in my heart, I'm not really bowing. Daniel could have shut the doors, could have shut the windows. They said, I'm still going to pray, but not openly. I know they're looking for me. Daniel did not camouflage his Christianity. Daniel was true. He knew that he was walking before an audience of one. And he knew that God would still see him praying if the windows were shut. But he knew that God would be pleased with him if he kept those windows open. And he had the faith, he had the confidence that his Lord, his God, was able. Just like those three young men in chapter 3. And so he prays with the windows open. He would not camouflage his Christianity. I think that's all I have. Lord, help us.
Amen.